Have you ever had a life-transforming experience? Something that radically redefined your view of the world, your priorities, and how you live day to day? Well, Dan Millman has. He was a successful gymnast at Berkeley University with his sights set on the Olympics. That was until a motorcycle accident forced him to rethink his entire reason for existing. Since then, Dan Millman has written 13 books, the most famous of which is Way of the Peaceful Warrior, and he joins me in the studio now. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Patricia. Glad to be here.
You were a competitive gymnast, a potential Olympian, training for the World Gymnastics Championships. Then this motorcycle accident changed your life. Take us back to that time and why it was just such a seminal moment in your life.
Many people who've had a sudden dislocation in their life, whether it's financial or loss of a loved one, or in my case, an injury, know what it's like that when our plans, our goals, our expectations are interrupted. And it shook me up. I'm pointing up right now in the sense that I started asking bigger questions about life. I was no longer bulletproof like many 20-somethings. And I believe because of that, it sent me in a different direction. Not unusual, and again, many people can relate to this sort of thing. And I do not recommend fractures as a method of personal development. But in my case, I began asking bigger questions, and it led to an intensive decade traveling around the world, working with different mentors. And it led to an approach to living that I now communicate and have for decades. I call the Peaceful Warrior's Way, which actually is about living with a peaceful heart, but the acknowledgement there are times we need a warrior's spirit.
You talk in your TED talk about developing a talent for living, mm-hmm. and I'm sure everyone would like that talent. How do you develop a talent for living, though, and how do you teach that?
Most people can relate to sport or playing a musical instrument. And when I was a coach at Stanford University and later a college professor in physical education, ruminated on this question of talent, and it seemed to me that it was about 20% innate or inborn. For example, certain body types lend themselves to certain kinds of sports. But I believed it could be developed. I would define talent, physical talent, as the ability to learn something faster, easier, and rise to higher levels. That seems like a fair definition. And I decided to experiment on the gymnast while I was training at Stanford. And instead of working the skills of gymnastics for the first year, we worked on strength, suppleness, stamina, coordination, rhythm, timing, balance, and reflex speed. Those are the fundamental elements that create talent for sports. And our team went from the bottom of the conference to the top, one of the top three teams in the nation. And I trained the top U.S. Olympian. But I was going through some difficulties at that point, and I realized that being able to do handstands and somersaults didn't help me when I went out on a date or when I got married or had children or dealt with financial challenges and those issues of everyday life that challenge us all. That's when I began to ask that same question you just asked me, which is, how can we develop talent, not for sport, but talent for living? And those, for example, relationships, the kind of skills they don't teach us in school.
But surely that talent can't be universal. I can't imagine a talent for living being the same in a refugee camp as it would be in a privileged country like Australia or in the US. Mm-hmm. Do you really think it can be universal, learning a talent like that?
Our physical circumstances change. If someone's living in a very impoverished country in more difficult circumstances, they can still have a clear sense of purpose. They can still have a close-knit family. So our tasks may be different. Our lives may look different. But I believe those fundamental human capacities, wanting connection with other people and a sense of meaning and purpose, remain the same. We all have to make decisions in our lives. That's one of those fundamental skills. So I help with that area of decision-making.
Is it harder now that we are so connected? We are so connected, obviously, through our mobile technology, but just we're, you know, almost always contactable. God, it's frustrating sometimes, isn't it? Just always on the edge of being there for everyone and everything. How do you navigate through that in a way that you can be, as you talk of, really sort of have a real strong sense of purpose, know when to say no, know when to say yes, know when to turn it off?
Well, that is one of the fundamental tenets that I teach that I remind people of is that there is no best diet, martial art, yoga, exercise system, book, philosophy, religion, or teacher. There's only the best for us at a given time of our life. Each of us shares common human qualities, but we also have our individual differences. So life is an experiment. We have to find what works best for us. That also applies to your question about technology. Technology is a great opportunity, but it's also a challenge, as you point out, for many of us. We only have to turn off our phone and walk in the park and take a deep breath. We never have to handle more than this moment. Life is a series of moments, and if we just focus on what is in front of us and handling that with quality. A line I got into the Peaceful Warrior movie, they did make a movie of my book with Nick Nolte, is that Socrates, the old man in the gas station, says to me, "Dan, the difference between us is you practice gymnastics, I practice everything." We do things every day, the laundry, we do our work, and so on. But by practicing what we do, we refine it. It's a commitment to refine. How many of us are refining our signature or the way we walk across a room? When we begin to practice our way through life, we reach a state of absorption in the moment. And life takes on a more mindful quality, a more peaceful quality, and our mind stops flitting back and forth from past to future.
I'm interested in this concept. At the center of a lot of your teaching is this idea that many of us are not actually in control of our lives. Can you explain that idea and why it's so profoundly unnerving? Because so much of what we try to do is actually control for everything, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do. It gives a sense of certainty and security. But if we're realistic, the more we're attuned to reality and how it actually works, the better our lives work. So I often remind people that life comes at us in waves of change. We cannot predict or control, but we can learn to surf. I also remind people of something that's quite provocative. It's a form of deprogramming, actually, is that most of us are convinced that we can just fix our insides, have the right thoughts, quiet mind, the right emotions, then life will go well. But I'm suggesting that we have more direct control by our will over what we do from moment to moment than over what we happen to be feeling. Emotions are the weather patterns of the body. They change all the time. Sometimes they're positive, sometimes they're not. The same with thoughts. But if we focus on what do I need to do right now, life comes more under our control. We can manage that. We can handle that. What do I need to do right now and do it well?
I understand you don't really like the term New Age. And yet, I'm going to put this to you in a friendly way. What you are putting to me sounds to me New Age.
Well, of course, it depends on how one defines New Age. Now that I've reached a certain age, they've moved my books from the New Age section to the Middle Age section in the stores. It's sort of the New Age is the miscellaneous drawer where they don't know where to put you. You're not exactly in religion or psychology or philosophy, so they throw it in the New Age. That's what I don't like about the term. But when you talk about life's bigger picture, and you know, many of your listeners will relate to it, whether it sounds New Age or psychological, I'm speaking to the heart of people. What are we really dealing with? What do we want in life? What is our life for? And it's good to step back now and then from the tunnel vision at our work and our challenges and every day at home. We live in a conventional world. We also, there is that sense of connection with others and with life's bigger picture. And so I like to remind myself, as I do others, of this bigger picture that fundamentally, we're perfect as we are, but not yet perfected. So we're going through the school of everyday life. Lessons repeat themselves until we learn them. We can trust that. And to help people appreciate even the challenges that happen in everyday life as a form of personal growth.
Thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.
On RN Drive, Dan Millman. And that's Dan Millman. He's a motivational speaker and the author of 13 books, including Way of the Peaceful Warrior. And his latest book, written with his daughter, is The Creative Compass, Writing Your Way from Inspiration to Publication. He is here in Melbourne for the Creative Innovation Conference, which wraps up tomorrow. You're listening to RN Drive.